Clearly, at this time in the Bush administration, this was the game plan, and this is what they did. Now, with respect to the Pentagon, there may have been additional objectives. Oddly, just on September 10th, the day before, Rumsfeld had, in a sort of a shame-faced way, admitted that $2.3 trillion of Pentagon money had been lost.
So, let's go read about that. This is from my note on Facebook. UBS scandal, 9/11, and Obama's bloody hands. This reminds me. Catherine Austin Fitz was told, "Don't you dare," by Dennis, who quickly changed the subject when the absence of interceptors was pointed out at the beginning of today, September 9th, Mouser Report. He said, "Don't you dare answer the question about the connection between the 2008 great bank robbery and 1963, when our brains are blown out." But the U.S. subprime and global well, of course, George H.W. Bush was the connecting. Just like when I was going to answer the same George H.W. Bush when he pulled me out of line at Jerry Brown's We the People, because I was going to answer the question, the connection between the CIA drugs and 1963. So, and then he interviewed me as part of the Beatty 3 after I crawled up on the axle of the worker bus the first Mother's Day after the Jim Crow coup, and at the test site. And then, like, less than a year later, I'm getting drug out of having all the traffic on El Camino Real backed up when George W. Bush is coming to be front man for the Jim Crow coup. He said, "What do you want to tell the people?" "I want nothing to do with the murder of Shaka Sankofa and Odell Barnes." Oh, yeah, it's all that. And anyway, so back to the great bank robbery of 2008, which, you know, it's like the Pentagon's great robbery of 2001, the Jim Crow coup bank robbery, when the Pentagon stole trillions, multiple trillions, and then the next day, after being asked about it, boom. Actually, this will get into this. Subprime financial crisis of 2008 was a result of policy implemented by the U.S. financial institution caretakers of the World War II Black Eagle Gold Fund. Reagan-Bush administration ousted Ferdinand Marcos and confiscated the Philippines' holdings of Japanese pre-World War II treasury buried in the Philippines. Not being able to publicly acknowledge the illegal confiscation of multiple national treasuries, U.S. officials and their banker agents have released major portions of this fund, expanding the money supply by $3.5 to $7 trillion. The total amount of treasure unearthed was in magnitude estimated to have been as much as 280,000 tons. Under international law, the gold should have been returned to the citizenry from which it had been confiscated. George H.W. Bush and Alan Greenspan funded a covert operation in 91 in the range of $240 billion. One of these insiders was the wife of a minor covert fund manager, CIA operative Russell Herman of the Durham Trust. The other was long-term program manager of the covert fund, General Earl Koch, C-O-C-K-E. They used the gold to fund a covert economic war that caused the collapse of the Soviet Union. Securities from the $240 billion covert war were settled in the aftermath of September 11, 2001 tragedy. This meant that $240 billion jumped from the off-balance sheet accounts to the balance sheets of their respective holding banks and had a major impact on the money supply. There was an ongoing and massive expansion of the money supply during the 7 years prior to 9/11 that is attributable to the officially denied sell-off of undeclared U.S. government gold stocks. According to Reginald Howe, in his 2000 lawsuit against Bank of International Settlements, Alan Greenspan, William McDonough, J.P. Morgan Company, Chase Manhattan Corporation, Citigroup, Inc., Goldman Sachs Group, Deutsche Bank, AG, and Lawrence H. Summers, Secretary of the Treasury, The covert sell-off of U.S. gold started in 1986. Kissinger and Bush forced Ferdinand Marcos from office as president and confiscated his gold. Astute gold traders noticed gold appearing on the market with no clear sourcing, and this observation resulted in the Howe lawsuit. An FBI investigation was unhinged with the attack on the World Trade Center in 2001 and the bombing of the FBI evidence repository. Timothy F. Geithner joined Treasury in 1988 in the International Affairs Division after spending 3 years with Kissinger Associates. Oh yeah, Henry Kissinger in December of 2000 said, "The only thing that can keep this country together is an act of domestic terrorism." Back to the UBS scandal. Kissinger was the individual who wrote the letter to Ferdinand Marcos, 3 years with Kissinger Associates, where he earned his covert operation credentials. Kissinger was the individual who wrote the letter to Ferdinand Marcos demanding he relinquish his gold to the U.S. While Geithner was at Kissinger Associates, that firm was involved in Brazilian Ambassador Sergio da Costa's BCCI scandal, the Banco Nacional de Lavoro BNL scandal, and helping arm Saddam Hussein by getting bank credits for grain for Iraq and then swapping those credits and grain for arms. BNL will ultimately be taken over by HSBC in 2006. And in Critical Mass, there's a book called Critical Mass. It has a picture of Christopher Dragoon viewing the nuclear operation that he was helping fund back. After joining Treasury, Geithner became Deputy Assistant Secretary for International Monetary and Financial Policy under Treasury Secretaries Robert Rubin and Lawrence Summers. In October 2003, he became President of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, where he became Vice Chairman of the Federal Open Market Committee. There, he would be accused of supporting a cover-up of al-Qaeda money flows from UAE, Pakistan, and Saudi Arabia for possible terrorist-related purposes prior to 9/11. That's from Collateral Damage Part 2, Subprime Crisis and the Terrorist Attacks on September 11, 2001 by E.P. Heidner, December 25, 2008. Oh yeah, and Geithner was arrested briefly 2012 by the state cops for his fraud when he was the head of the New York Fed and lying about AIG giving 100 cents on the dollar for worthless underwater crap. But let's see if this...
I'm DJ Mouse with your name. Oh, well, Craig Getty, but I'm with Berkeley Liberation Radio, so...
Which Liberation?
Berkeley Liberation Radio.
Berkeley Liberation.
I haven't heard too much about what they were going for with these demolitions. Now, the Operation North Woods side of this is the military's plan to unleash their, you know, give them the political cover.
Yeah.
But why specifically those three or four places? Now, the Cantor Fitzgerald was targeted, the FBI and the second tower that was hit, and the SEC was in the World Trade Center 7 and the Office of Naval Intelligence in the Pentagon.
Okay, let me say two things. First of all, what we're talking about here is scientific evidence that the official story is false. And as Stephen Jones said, science can only go so far. It can tell you that. It cannot tell you why people did what they did. Now, there have been speculations about, you know, why Building 7. Speculations about the Twin Towers. Obviously, they're the biggest buildings in America. They're in New York, so the commercial capital of America, economic capital. So it would make sense that foreign terrorists would want to do that. And the Pentagon, obviously, the sign, symbol of our military power. So it would make sense that foreign terrorists who hate America would want to do that.
On the surface.
So, yeah, so it's rather obvious why, if this is a false flag operation, they would choose the Pentagon.
Yeah, the iconic
Twin Towers
thing.
Yeah.
But why I asked you and not the scientist,
yeah,
is your broader knowledge.
Yeah. Let me give the second part of my answer. The second part is that if you're going to do an operation, you've got to do it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so this somewhere, in this case, meant New York City. You need the cooperation of the city officials.
Right.
You need the mayor. You need the port authority. You need the owner or the leaseholder of the building. You had to get people, when you do a crime, the basic question is, cui bono, who benefits?
Right.
So it can't just be a benefit for the Bush-Cheney administration who wants to go to war in Afghanistan and Iraq. That's a big part of it. It's also got to be a benefit to New York City. So that's the question people should ask. And there you see, well, Silverstein got a big benefit called $7 billion.
Right.
The city got rid of some white elephants that it was going to cost them billions of dollars
to dismantle
because of the asbestos. So these are not scientific answers, but you can make pretty reasonable speculations and certainly reasonable enough to be provide a probable cause for an investigation. So that's what we believe we have shown.
Now, my guess is you haven't seen the 9/11 collateral damage article by Israel Shamir, and he mentions that cancer...
That Cantor Fitzgerald had laundered the 10-year bond. So behind the scandals, there is this World War II loot. So it would have to go back to China and everywhere like that. It was robbed from, but of course we've been murder, raping, and pillaging since 500 centuries or 500 years. Yeah, but. So whatever it was, I'm just going to have to take it up again next Mouser Report. See me next Tuesday, 104.1 FM, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net, TuneIn Radio/BerkeleyLiberationRadio, and all that. There's a benefit. Let me play this. I think it'll play. Knock, knock. Benefit. Here we go.
Hang on, stupid, stupid, hang on. Hang on, stupid, stupid, hang on.
In the year 2014, if you're listening on.
Ahoy, mateys. This is your captain asking you to mark Saturday, September 27th on your calendar. There will be a benefit for Berkeley Liberation Radio 104.1 FM, celebrating 15 years of electronic civil disobedience. We'll be offering a screening of BLR, Micro Power for the People, a documentary all about Berkeley Liberation Radio. Plus, there will be live music and a DJ performance by DJ BPM Smith. It's all happening Saturday, September 27th, and starts at 8 o'clock p.m. The event will be at One Fan, which is at 1600 7th Street in West Oakland, next to the Revolution Cafe and the Bikes for Life store. It's close to the BART station, and the admission charge is sliding scale. Pay what you can and enjoy the show. We will be broadcasting the show live on the radio at 104.1 FM, and you can also hear it on our website, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net. So please come to our show and support your local community radio station. Thanks for listening.